Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Today, we're going to talk about artificial intelligence and the dawn of a startling new era. They can write software code. They can compose poetry and music and translate 100 languages. They can give very interesting answers to questions about almost anything. Yes, sir. One passed a graduate level law and economics exam at George Mason University with nice, clear essay length answers. The awesome capabilities of a new generation of artificial intelligence and the programs written using that are hard for the human mind to grasp. With neural networks that mimic the functions of the brain, generative artificial intelligence can create original text, images, or other content of startling quality. These programs sift through billions of pieces of data, finding patterns, making probability-based decisions about their responses. When OpenAI, which is an 8-year-old startup now in a multi-billion-dollar partnership with Microsoft, released their chat GPT to free public use in November, it heralded a startling future. So far, ChatGPT has mostly been treated as a curiosity, with more than 1 million users asking this virtual brain to write business emails, cover letters, and faux Shakespearean sonnets. But a new version of ChatGPT is coming out this spring, and it will vastly expand ChatGPT's language model, which is already based on about 8 billion pages of text. Some Silicon Valley executives and tech experts believe that artificial intelligence will transform society as dramatically as the smartphone or even the internet. Artificial intelligence and its impact could even be deadly, according to an article in the New York Times. Artificial intelligence-powered algorithms have already helped radicalize people online, and autonomous weapons directed by AI could someday roam the streets. AI is already being used in facial recognition systems, and these can result in an intrusive public and private surveillance state where both the government and private corporations can know exactly where you are and what you are doing. To prevent the most dangerous outcomes of this fourth industrial revolution, we need a federal commission staffed by tech experts to lay out the dangers and the possibilities and to help Congress create regulations. It seems that we cannot afford to let AI continue its revolutionary development completely unchecked. We can either harness and regulate AI to make the world better, or let AI dictate to humanity what world we will be living in. I'll be right back. Don't go away. Why do eggs cost so much? We've been hit with eggflation. It's a tough time to be an egg eater. Prices for supermarket eggs have jumped 60% over the past year. And in December, wholesale prices for a dozen large eggs hit a record $5.46. Many consumers are now paying $7 or more. Why? Some of the blame goes to the same inflationary forces that have driven up other food costs, including rising prices for feed, for transportation, and for labor. But the main culprit is the worst outbreak of avian flu in U.S. history. Passed by wild birds, usually through their feces, the H5N1 virus has devastated poultry flocks across the country. Nearly 58 million chickens have been culled to prevent the further spread of infection. Farmers hope that their replenished stock of egg layers will boost supply in the coming months. But experts say high prices will remain for at least the near future. In looking at this in a little more detail, there was an article in the Washington Post saying one reason for this problem is climate change. Epic drought caused virus-carrying geese to shift their migration east to a path over the densest livestock production area in North America. Another is factory farming that packs millions of hens into a single building, allowing disease to spread swiftly. Pricey breakfasts are not only the worry we have about this, but virologists are warning that as more avian flu spreads, the chances increase that it may spill over into humans. That could lead to a nightmare scenario where H5N1 mutates to allow human-to-human transmission of a virus against which we have no protection, like the 1918 Spanish flu or the 2019 coronavirus. The odds are low, said one virologist, but there is concern about it having pandemic potential. So pay attention to any information coming out about egg inflation. Back in a moment. Now, news from the world of Earth and science. The ozone layer has been restored. It's not all bad news for the planet, you see. New research shows that the hole in the ozone layer is on course to heal up completely. The ozone layer is a vital atmospheric shield composed of the gas of ozone, O3, which blocks ultraviolet sunlight from reaching the Earth's surface. In the 1980s, scientists sounded the alarm that human production of chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, which were typically found in refrigerators, in aerosol sprayers, and in solvents, had made a hole in the layer as the CFC molecules interacted with the ozone. But an international treaty in 1989, the Montreal Protocol, achieved wild success in phasing out these substances. A new United Nations assessment says the ozone layer should recover to 1980 levels by the year 2040 across most of the world, and by 2066 over the worst affected region, and that is Antarctica. And then there's this about autism. There is now a hair test. Doctors have developed a test for autism in young kids that uses a single strand of hair. According to NBC News, the test, developed by a New York startup, Linus Bio, fires a laser at the hair to turn it into a plasma for analysis, then uses artificial intelligence to look for evidence of exposure to certain heavy metals that are linked to autism. In an initial study, it predicted the condition accurately about 81% of the time. The technology is incredibly novel. It's groundbreaking. The test could be used only as a diagnostic aid, not as the sole means of diagnosis. The causes of autism still remain a mystery, with risk factors ranging from pollution to changes in the urine environment, uterine environment. Still, it could be a tool to help doctors identify the condition much earlier than they can now. The last feature today in our world of health and science news is about the Webb Telescope. The James Webb Space Telescope has produced some stunning images of the cosmos since it began operation last year. Now, it has notched another accomplishment. It has confirmed the existence of an exoplanet known as LHS-575b and located about 41 light years away. The celestial body is almost exactly the same size as Earth. NASA's exoplanet hunting satellite called TESS, T-E-S-S, has provided data now that suggests the planet might exist. Scientists are hoping they can determine whether the planet has an atmosphere, something only Webb has the capability to do. We are at the forefront of studying small, rocky exoplanets. We have barely begun to scratch the surface of what their atmospheres might be like. And there you have comments from the world of health and science. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away, please. But now we have news from Europe. The French are incensed. And that would be a mild statement. President Emmanuel Macron is in for a long and nasty battle with workers in the country. More than 1 million French people protested in cities across the country recently, filling town squares and shutting down trains, power plants, and schools. They were outraged at the plan to raise the retirement age from 62, which is the European Union's lowest, to 64. The government has made a grand case for reform. As people live longer, the generous French benefits package is becoming unaffordable. And starting this year, the pension fund is projected to run an annual deficit of some $11 billion. But the French have a strangely teenaged relationship with the state, a blend of petulant rejection, but needy dependency. And they simply refuse to concede that a perk might be taken away from them. The mood of the country is even angrier and more poisonous than it was in 1995. That was the last time a major pension overhaul was attempted, even though this proposed change is much more moderate. It won't be easy to make French workers accept reality. Oh, mon Dieu, they say. Well, we're headed toward the end of today's program, and I wanted to tell you about shopping carts. You say shopping carts? Yes, it's a news item. Keeping shopping carts in the corral, so to speak. Retailers are at war with shopping cart thieves. Wayward carts, they're called, have been a problem for decades. A 1957 New York Times article lamented that too much cart napping was going on. But it's getting out of hand. Stores spend tens of millions of dollars each year to replace lost and damaged carts. Walmart, for example, paid $23,000 in fines for abandoned shopping carts last year to the town of Dartmouth, Massachusetts. Stores also lose sales when there aren't enough carts for customers during the peak shopping hours. And some carts roll astray and block intersections. Others get swiped by people who use them to shuttle goods home, then sell them for scrap metal. This is a much larger problem than you would imagine. And stores are responding with some ingenuity of their own, such as wheels that automatically lock if a cart strays too far from the store. So please be careful out there with your shopping cart. Use it the way it's supposed to be used. Be back in just a moment. As we bring today's program to a close, I think I should pass this along to you. It's an item about fake meat. It says fake meat wasn't a real business. Meat Made Without Animals was billed as the next world-changing disruption. Beyond Meat, that company, Messianic founder Ethan Brown promised his products would help solve heart disease, diabetes, cancer, climate change, natural resource depletion, and animal welfare. Everyone from Silicon Valley venture capitalists to Leonardo DiCaprio and America's biggest producer of real meat, Tyson Foods, wanted to invest, catapulting the startup to over $1 billion valuation in 2018. Bill Gates also put money into Beyond's rival Impossible Foods, helping it raise $183 million before it had sold a single burger. And now, almost 4 years after Beyond Meat's splashy IPO, its initial public offering, Big Meat is still alive and well. While Beyond Meat's sales of its high-priced plant-based meat have plummeted, Impossible is doing a little better, having replaced its own visionary founder and gone on a supermarket blitz with its line of animal-shaped faux chicken nuggets. Consumers, after all the buzz, have turned on Beyond's highly processed imitation hot dogs and burgers. But never fear, fake meat isn't dead. There is new hype around cellular meat, grown from the cells of real cows, chickens, and fish. Bill Gates and Leonardo DiCaprio are in again. And investors promise, yeah, that this could change the world. I don't know about that. So, I would end today with some of my favorite quotations. Some of my favorite quotations, beginning with H.L. Mencken. He said, "The way to deal with superstition is not to be polite to it, but to tackle it with all arms and so rout it, cripple it, and make it forever infamous and ridiculous." And the philosopher Gina Lollobrigida, "We are all born to die. The difference is the intensity with which we choose to live." And Zsa Gabor said, "Macho does not prove mucho." Mark Twain, my favorite, says, "Good judgment comes from experience, and experience comes from bad judgment." George Saunders, of movies in the 40s, "It's a real moment of maturation to say, my time here is short. What can I do the most beautifully?" And finally, this from the philosopher Alain de Botton: "Work is most fulfilling when you're at the comfortable, exciting edge of not quite knowing what it is you're doing. And so, my friends, that's about all I have for you today. I want you to be kind to each other. Be safe. Take care. And we will be much the better for that. Hopefully, this winter will be over soon, and we'll be into a very lovely spring. We can only hope. The winter has been a little bit squirrely, but interesting. And now Willie Nelson and I are ready to go down the road again, looking for items that fit into a little of this, a little of that, in order to inform you, to entertain you, and once in a while, to amuse you. So, Willie, let's go.